Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Baldy, let's shift gears and talk about some of these games and some different perspectives. Before we do, I've got to ask you, though, because it's still an ongoing situation with Damar Hamlin. As we know, he's improving. I don't know what that means. We're not going to play doctors here, but we feel like that's good information from the Bills. I think his father spoke. But I want to ask you, from the league standpoint, because this is the big question now. Do you play this game, Baldy? Can you play this game? And if so, we've got like six scenarios that the league's looking at to push some of these games to maybe, you know, have the number one seeds get an extra week off. There's a lot at stake here. Does the league need to play this game and make it up?
The answer is I don't know. I don't know, Carl. I know that I've read all the possible scenarios, how they could squeeze that week, push everything back. They could squeeze the week between the Super Bowl and make it a 1 week, which they have done in the past. I don't see that happening. I just don't. There's just too much going on. I think it's going to be difficult. I do like the fact that the league has placed the priority of Damar in front of everything else. I think that's been a healthy thing for the fans and the players. I do think that was the right decision. I don't know. Like, so then it becomes, okay, is it competitive? Is it an even playing field, Nick? If they try to play the game, and that means, you know, these teams are going to probably play two games in, you know, a short amount of time, that's not really very fair. So I don't – I kind of feel like then if Kansas City wins this weekend, do they just become the number one seed and Cincinnati and Buffalo don't get that chance? That's not fair.
Right.
It's not fair to the fans. It's not fair to the team. I don't know what the answer is right now, Carl. I mean, I've gone around and around like a lot of people have. We've kind of chopped it up and everything, but I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you think there's a possible solution to this.
I've gone back and forth. I'll be honest, the other night when this all played out, first of all, these are two separate scenarios. In the moment of canceling and postponing that game, they had no other choice, right? That was the right decision.
That was the right decision.
In that moment. But now that you get past that and you know that, you know, Damar is fighting and we are praying and we're hoping the best for that, you still have a scenario that these teams need a fair and equitable chance to compete for the number one seed.
Yeah.
And I've said all along, Baldy, you know, if Buffalo gets that one seed, I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I've said that. I think it gives them a really advantage to advance. If that one seed goes to Kansas City, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's been at home for all these playoff runs. He hasn't had to leave Kansas City. So does that change my mindset about the Chiefs having to maybe go on the road if they're not the number one seed? And I just think if you're talking about something the NFL presses, which is we are going to have a fair and balanced schedule for everybody to play the same amount of games, and then those results will determine what we do. I think you just have to find a way to push this game, not this week, but maybe next, and get it in. And if you don't do that and you do the no contest thing and you just go on the winning percentages, to me, that's the next best thing. But I just will tell you, and you know this, however this shakes out, whoever gets to the Super Bowl, every fan base that didn't have a shot to get that number one seed, Bengals, Bills, they're going to have to. Yes.
Look, I remember when the Eagles won 5 years ago, they had the number one seed. And Howie Roseman, the general manager, Doug Peterson, the head coach, Like, their whole thing was, let's get the number one seed's important. It's really, we want home playoff games. And I don't think Eagles would have won the Super Bowl if they didn't have the number one seed. And we've always said, you got to let things be decided between the white lines on the field.
Yeah.
On everything. You know, nobody would know that Brock Purdy could play if he never got that chance. You got to decide it on the field. I understand the circumstances are the circumstances. We've never seen anything like this. I still believe that games have to be decided and teams have to play to make this decision. And look, the game had as much meaning, just the game, as any game played this year. So much was riding on it. Cincinnati could have ended up being the number one seed. So I feel like they have to find a way to play that game, Carl.
I do too. Cincinnati clinches the AFC North title with the win or tie versus Buffalo. That was one. But the idea that they could also be the number one overall seed, we will see what the NFL does. Guys, these are questions that are bigger than Baldy and I. We're just giving you our thoughts about it from the people we talk to. But
that's right.
At the end of the day, this is above what they say, above our pay grade. All right. In the huddle, Brian Baldinger, Carl Dukes with you. Let's talk about Patriots. Patriots at Buffalo. Now, we know Week 18 games are going to happen. Speaking of what we were just talking about, I don't know where Buffalo's head is going to be, Baldy. I don't know mentally where half of this roster, if not all of this roster, that's going to be dressed out on Sunday, where they're going to be. Now, fair or unfair, New England's playing for a chance to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
What's going to happen here?
Well, look, let me just in general say this, Carl. Everybody grieves differently. And you have to allow people. I don't care if it's the death to your grandmother, somebody close to you, Damar Hamlin. Everybody has that right to internalize that loss their own way. Some players, it's cathartic to go back to practice. And
sure.
Kind of for 3 hours, let's put this out of our mind. We'll come right back to our vigil and what we feel about our teammate. And some just won't be able to do it. They mentally won't be able to do it. And that's not, nobody can criticize that. So I do think it's going to be an issue. Now, I understand they went back to practice yesterday and who knows, the walkthrough. I trust Sean McDermott's the head of the family. He sits at the table. He is a great leader. But it is going to be tough. Now, the Patriots, they do things. Now, they've scored 7 defensive touchdowns this year, Carl. It's a team record. It's the most in the league. Kyle Duggar has scored 3 himself. Mm. Like defensively, they can get after the quarterback. They can take the ball away. I mean, they do a lot of things that make life difficult for you. Offensively, they're trying to get the ball down the field to Tyquan Thornton. They're trying to get some explosive plays. They're kind of like watching paint dry, you know, watch that offense. It's just not, there's just not a lot of juice there. Even the owner has kind of said,
yeah,
I don't know about this structure, this offense coordinator thing and how it's going. I mean, he's not happy with it. So, you kind of can see how this thing, even if it's in Buffalo, you know, it's in Buffalo, the Patriots with everything to play for, like you're going to get their best effort. And whatever Buffalo puts out there is what they can muster up at this point.
Dolphins are going to start Skylar Thompson. Some of you are right now going, who? They signed him. They signed Mike Glennon. You got Bridgewater hurt, obviously to a concussion protocol. I'm looking at this game, Jets at Dolphins. Jets are out, guys, right? But for the Dolphins, you're going, all right, what do you get here? And even if they win, Baldy, we've had this conversation. Do we even see Tua, even if they get in the playoffs?
I mean, I'm doing the game, Carl, on Sunday, Hard Rock Stadium, and we're going to be scoreboard watching. We're going to be watching, you know, all the 1 o'clock games, Buffalo and New England. You know, we're all going to, everybody's going to be watching. Skylar Thompson played, you know, he played great in preseason. He yeah. played a little bit last week, you know, against the Patriots. I mean, outside of Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, on a K, they've combined for 15 touchdowns. Outside of, you know, putting up fantastic stats, what is exciting about this offense? I mean, it's, I don't care who's running it. I mean, they've lost 5 in a row. Defensively, they're without a lot of key players, Xavien Howard and, you know, Bradley Chubb, et cetera. But, you know, they haven't really just shut teams down. I mean, I can see the Jets. I know, you know, their quarterback situation's a mess. Mike White will start. They haven't played well in 5 weeks either. I mean, you know, it might come down to whoever has the ball last or whoever makes the fewest mistakes. Like, who doesn't give up the pick six in this game? You know, that might just come down to the Sauce Gardner take Skylar Thompson to the house and give the Jets a win. I mean, I feel like it's going to be in the hands of the defenses that's going to decide this outcome, and probably it might even be defenses outscoring the offense in this game.
I talked to an executive, Baldy, about the Dolphins situation, and I had one question for him, and then it turned into a, as you know, these things, they turn into a 30-minute conversation. Yeah. And my question was, do you go get a quarterback? With Tua's circumstances,
yeah.
I'm not dogging Tua out. We've had these discussions all year long about where the Dolphins are, when he's on his game, how good they look. But with all of these concussions now, and you look at your team and how your team is built, and when healthy, it's a good defense. You wouldn't improve the offensive line. This is supposed to be a team that's ascending towards, hey, we're going to be challenging for this AFC championship thing. And he said flat out, I got to go get a quarterback. This executive said, look, I got to go get a quarterback. And I said, do you draft one or do you go get one in free agency? And he said, it doesn't matter. I'm looking at that quarterback room right now, and I'm going, there's more of a chance that he won't be able to play than he will be able to, and therefore I've got to cover myself. And I said, well, does that mean a quarterback competition? And so we're talking about this, and I'm curious to know what you think. And he said, look, you come back next year, and if Tua passes all of the health protocols, he's your guy. But I cannot go into another season knowing that I could lose him for weeks at a time because of this history now. He just says, this is just smart football. This is, yeah. I have to do this. Where are you at on this with Tua?
I'm with the executive. Look, we all love Tua. We love what he stands for. We love the way he competes, all that. I mean, he's still the highest rated quarterback in this league. But there's an injury history at Alabama. There's an injury history at Miami. And now there's these concussions, which are scary. And so I don't think that you can say, well, if we get 15 games, let's just say, you know, they're sitting around the round table and go, okay, can we get 15 games out of Tua? Maybe you can. But still, that's where the discussion starts. Can we get 15 games out of Tua right now? And if that's where you're leaning and that's what you're hoping for, that's not good enough. I think they have to, whether it's, you know, Derek Carr, whether it's, you know, the rookie, you know, pool here. Pick a guy, I don't know. I think you have to start planning for the future at that position. Certainly, too, you could keep him on the roster. He's under contract, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you have to start preparing for the future.
The other thing, Baldy, that this executive said to me, and then I want to ask you about the Browns at Steelers, because Mike Tomlin has done an amazing job.
Amazing.
He was saying that the concern for him would be that these concussions that have happened, these haven't been monstrous hits. It's not like when you were in the league and guys are blindsiding quarterbacks. Right. He said these hits are like you tackle him and then his head hits the back of the turf and he's got a concussion.
Yeah.
And so he was like, these are not direct poundings that he's taking. These are almost fluky kind of deals, which is even more concerning because, oh, I hit my head and now I've got a concussion.
You know, I'm best friends with Ron Jaworski, played 17 years. He took those type of hits you're describing from LT and everybody else, and he's fine. They don't even know if he had a concussion. Everybody has a different tolerance level for these things. I mean, everybody's body's different. Everybody's head's different. Some people are just more susceptible to them. And what that executive is saying is probably spot on. Like, you know, I see Aaron Rodgers, when he gets hit, his head hits the turf, I don't see concussions. You know, with Tua, you know, maybe that's just the way the cranium, you know, and the brain sits inside the cranium and the whiplash, it's just different. And so you have to factor this in long-term or just into this off season that you have to prepare as if something could happen.
Let's talk about the Steelers. In the Huddle, guys, it's our podcast. We come out Tuesdays, Thursdays, subscribe, like us, and we are going to get all over the playoffs. I cannot wait to see what this playoff pitch is going to look like. Now, we have an idea, but some things need to play out in week 18. Let's talk about Mike Tomlin. Mike T's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, you can say all that you want, but he's never had a losing season. And we go into the final week of the season where the Browns are at the Steelers. And here he is once again with a rookie quarterback and maybe not having a losing season. And I just look at this and I go, this is pretty amazing, Baldy. I mean, it just is 16 years and you haven't had a losing season. Think about all the organizations that have gone through coach after coach after coach after coach after coach. And this guy just finds a way. Now, he had Big Ben for a long time. Is this his best coaching year, considering all the things that have happened and the fact that they may not have a losing season on Sunday?
I think so. I think it is. You know, I was in Latrobe this summer, Carl, and I just happened to, you know, go to practice one day, and I saw Mike before the practice. He's like, Baldy, you picked a good day. We're getting after it today. Every drill is live. Every drill is we're getting after it. So I watched Mike Tomlin run this practice, Carl. And I started texting, and a buddy of mine is the assistant GM. So we're watching practice together. He gave me like a coach's pass, go anywhere you want to go, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started texting friends saying, I haven't seen a practice like this since I played. Like the amount of, I mean, I'm watching TJ Watt making tackles on Najee Harris on his knees, grabbing his leg like it's game day. And I'm only saying this. I mean, not that Andy Reid doesn't do these kind of practices or,
sure.
But I'm just watching this and I'm just watching Mike coach. And I go, this is what coaching is. He's a motivator. He's an innovator. Like he's pressing buttons. He's evaluating Jalen Warren and, you know, some of these young guys that are now playing for him. And he's challenging them in ways that's what coaching should be. And so he is on top of everything. The running game is coming along. It was awful the first three quarters of the season. I can just imagine halftime when they were down 13-3 to the Ravens in Baltimore on Sunday night, challenging Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, you know, and Minka Fitzpatrick going, we ain't winning it if you don't shut these guys out. Like that kind of thing. And they responded. They had a great second half defensively. Baltimore didn't get a sniff. They didn't give up anything. They took the ball away. And the rookie quarterback for the second week in a row takes the team down the field to win the game, you know, with the clock ticking. I think it's his best job, Carl. I really do. And if they take care of business against Cleveland, I don't know that I want to see the Steelers in the playoffs. I just don't, you know, I don't care who they play or where they go. I don't know that I want to see this team.
Yeah, and the thing, too, about Mike Tomlin, and listen, we criticize all these guys when we talk about in-game decisions or clock management.
Yeah.
But this is what I love about him. And I can go back, and I said this on my show, Baldy. You can go back 16 years from the time he got the job, at a very young age, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He handles situations perfectly.
Yeah.
He just – whether it's about a player, all the Antonio Brown crap.
Yeah.
Never threw him under the bus. Just handled it behind the scenes and then moved on, right? Yeah. We got rid of him. We got to move on. They took a $28 million cap hit or whatever it was at the time. And people go, this guy's crazy. Who does that? You have to know the inner makings of your team, the inner workings of your team. And I just feel like if there's a guy who has the pulse of his team and the players, it's Mike Tomlin. And
I agree.
I'm just pumping him up because, first of all, you know, the reality is African-American coaches don't get these opportunities, especially at the age that he got it, especially at with the Steelers. The Rooneys trusted him to say, this is the guy. And he's done nothing but prove it.
Yeah.
Like, that needs to be acknowledged. And I would hope that it would open up other doors for other guys. But the fact of the matter is, I have to judge Mike Tomlin on what he's done. And I just said, he's been amazing, man. He's been amazing.
He's, I mean, if you want to rank the coaches in any order, you know, top to bottom head coaches, you know, he's in your top three, period. You know, how you want to throw Belichick, I mean, whoever you want to put up there, he's in the top three coaches. Just the consistency over the period of time, all the different factors, you know, and then just the consistent winning. Like, we've never seen anything like it, you know, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's great, Baldy. All right, I want to ask you about Lions-Packers before we get out of here, guys. Next week, we'll figure some things out this weekend, and then we're all about looking at the playoffs. We'll be breaking down all the games for you. We'll be bringing you the inside information on these games because we can get much more specific with these playoff games because there's just more at stake than the week to week. But let's talk about Lions and Packers. Packers have won, what, four straight?
Four straight.
They've gotten four turnovers in each of the last weeks, right? The last 2 weeks, four turnovers, then four turnovers. Has that been the difference? What are you seeing with this team that has given them the ability to now have people believing that maybe they can make a run in the playoffs if they win this weekend? This is a playoff game, guys. Lions and Packers is a playoff game this weekend.
Well, I saw the Eagles run for 350 yards against the Packers, you know, 5-6 weeks ago, and it was as bad a defense as I've seen in the league. Last week, Jair Alexander said, "Justin Jefferson, I'm gonna follow you to the bathroom. I'm gonna follow you to the sideline. I'm gonna pour Gatorade for you. I'm not leaving your sight." And him, along with the game plan, shut Justin Jefferson down. And then all of a sudden, the defensive line, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, they woke up. They played great defensively 2 weeks in a row now. Shut the Dolphins out the week before in the second half. Shut Minnesota down all game long. But to me, the pulse of this team, I know Aaron Rodgers is who Aaron Rodgers is. To me, Aaron Jones is the MVP of this whole team.
Because they're running the ball, right?
They're running the ball. Aaron Jones is an amazing player. He never misses a hole. You give him 6 inches of daylight, he's going to find it. And, you know, A.J. Dillon's a great compliment. You know, they're running the ball really well. The offensive line protected and ran the ball well. Aaron Rodgers still trying to get deep shots down the field to Christian Watson, whoever. It's hit or miss. He's not getting a lot of them. They're at least trying it. Aaron Jones in that running game gives them an identity. It keeps them on schedule. It keeps the defense off the field. He's just an amazing, amazing running back. He keeps them on schedule. And then defensively, like what Jair did last week is what they should have done week one, you know, when they didn't cover Justin Jefferson. He played all the zone. Like he spoke out, "I want the league's best." And, you know, sometimes players, they just want that challenge, Carl. Like, "I don't care if we're a zone team. Give me Justin Jefferson." That's their number one option. And they had one catch for 15 yards. They couldn't get the ball to him. And it looked like everything kind of fell apart. And look, Detroit's got a lot of good receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown, and they got a good passing game and all that. This Packers defense has woken up. Like, they're playing like Rasul Douglas on one side, and, you know, the safeties are, you know, healthy. So I feel like they're playing their best football right now. And Aaron Rodgers knows it. He knows what his job is. And so I feel like all the pieces are just slowly coming together.
Yeah, it's interesting. And just like with Brady, you're giving Aaron Rodgers a chance to be in the playoffs after all this adversity. It's a dangerous spot for anybody that may have to face them. But they got to get past the Lions first. Baldy, great job. You're calling a Miami game this weekend, you said, right?
That's right.
All right, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
It should be a fun game. Jets, by the way, just for you guys to know, past four games, 12 points, 17 points, 3 points, 6 points. The Jets aren't scoring any points.
Nothing. They can't sustain any offense. The offensive line has, like, just collapsed. They've been cobbling guys together. They've just collapsed, and the quarterback play has just been awful. I mean, just awful. No matter who they've had in there over the last month, 5 weeks now. Mike White will get one more chance here to see if he can be brought back in whatever role. I mean, they got to figure out that position. Zach Wilson, I don't think, will be a Jet next year. I just don't believe that. So I think his time is come and gone. We'll see if Mike White can put together a game. We've seen it in the past. You know, if they can hold up long enough to be able to get the ball down the field to a couple of good young players.
It's going to be fun. Another weekend in the NFL, guys. We're back on Tuesday. We'll be recapping Week 18 and then talking about what's coming up with the playoffs. Brian Baldinger, Carl Dukes, put them up in the huddle. Subscribe Tuesday, Thursdays. Thank you guys for being here. We'll talk to you soon. Brian, have a good weekend, man.
All right. Happy New Year, Carl. Great being with you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.